Good evening, everyone. Don't be intimidated. It's like this is here. Shin Chochei, we're doing the mitzvah of Shiva Sukkah. The Minchas Chinuch. It says the following. Obviously we spoke last time about the mitzvah of sitting in the Sukkah, the mitzvah of Minat Torah, to sit in the Sukkah for 7 days. Outside the land of Israel, we sit as well Shmi Atzeres on the 8th day. And we have to be careful that you don't eat a meal outside. We don't have bread outside the sukkah. We don't have a meal outside the sukkah. You want to have fruit outside the sukkah. You want to have a drink outside the sukkah. A snack outside the sukkah. You're allowed to. Anything that's a meal that contains bread, you shouldn't have. You're not allowed to have outside the sukkah. Really, mizonos, you should really stay away from having. Outside the sukkah, you should have it in the sukkah, unless the chor, if it would be a snack, it shouldn't be such a problem if it's a small snack, but better to stay away from mizonos outside a sukkah. The mizonos should be in the sukkah. Now he's going to discuss, and there's a special mitzvah for the first night of sukkahs. We said that you have to find yourself in a sukkah. Chol HaMoed, if you decide to have fruit and you don't want to have a real meal, you don't have to be in a sukkah. But only if you want to have a meal on Chol HaMoed, you want to wash, you have to find yourself in a sukkah. However, the first night of sukkahs, you must find yourself in a sukkah. You have to go find yourself a sukkah. So now, he discusses the following question. It starts with, it's in the new Minchas Chinuch, it's under the headline of Mitzvah Bo Baveira. So he says like this, V'im ki ein daki b'chibo zeh, it's not my way in this sefer that he wrote to go into length about questions and answers of things that are not nogei ladina. That means he liked to discuss things that have halachic ramifications, practical ramifications. He didn't want to just discuss things that don't have, even though things that don't have practical ramifications are also important. It's also Torah. But that, you know, his focus was to talk about things that have halachic applications. But he said, I have such a good idea and I have such a good svara to answer a question of Tosos, it's hard to control myself and I want to share it with you. So that's what he's saying over here. Mikol makom, lo emna l'tareitz kushas haTosos, she'ilani yasak svara nechona. I'm not going to hold myself back from answering the question of Tosfos, which, according to my humble opinion, is a proper logic, is proper svara. Is everything clear?
Sure.
Very good. The Mashi Hiksu Shem Dav Tesam and Aleph Divi Hamas Lahu. Tosfos asked the question. Tesam and Aleph Masechah Sukkah. This is the following question that Tosfos asks. Lo Malikro B'Sukkah. Why do we need a pasuk by Sukkah D'Lachah? Pasuk says Lachah. Lamuti Gezula. The Torah says the Chag HaSukkos Ha'asa L'cha. The Torah says that the 7 days, it has to be, the sukkah has to belong to you. It has to belong to you. And the Gemara says, we learn out from the fact that it says L'cha, that if it's stolen, you stole the wood, you stole the schach, you stole the wool material, the schach material, the sukkah is not kosher. If you stole the materials that make up the sukkah is not kosher. Now, so Tosfos asks the question, do we need a special pasuk to tell us that? We know that the general rule, a mitzvah that's done through a sin, Tosfos' understanding in his question is, it's not counted as a mitzvah at all. If you stole the stuff, the schach, that's going to make the sukkah, of course, you don't need a pasuk to tell me that you're not yotze. You need the Torah to write a special word, machot, to tell you that you'll fill the mitzvah. Torah doesn't write anything extra unless it's come to tell you something. There's no extra word in the Torah. So the Torah says, machot, tell you something you would not have known. So the Torah says, yes, what do you mean you would not have? Of course you would know. You would know, a general rule, a mitzvah that comes from an Aveira, you would have said that you know from that point that there's something wrong with that sukkah. Without a pasuk in the Torah. You know, the mitzvah came through with stolen goods, stolen material. So he says, You know what? Tosa says, maybe you're right. Maybe we don't need the pasuk to tell me that a stone sukkah is not good. Maybe we need the pasuk to tell us that if you borrow a sukkah, maybe the sukkah has to belong to you. Maybe the lecha, when it says lecha, is telling you that if it has to be yours, but it can't be borrowed. But we know that's not true. You're allowed to go to your friend's sukkah. You're allowed to go to someone else's sukkah. It doesn't have to be your own personal sukkah. You know, like we have the halacha by the first days of sukkahs, it says lakachtem lochem, that the eser should belong to you. Special halacha that it should belong to you. But we don't have that halacha by the sukkah. The sukkah doesn't have to belong to you. You could borrow the sukkah. So therefore, v'lek l'muti shol, you can't come to exclude that if the pasuk is coming to tell us a borrowed sukkah does show kosher. A borrowed sukkah is kosher. You know, your friend could do a good chesed, a good kindness. He could lend you his sukkah. No problem. The gzula b'lavach gzula. So a stolen sukkah, without this pasuk, should be invalid. So why do we need a pasuk? Again, the question of the table is, Tosafot wants to know, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that a sukkah that's stolen is no good? You don't fulfill the mitzvah. So Tosafot himself, one of the answers Tosafot suggests is if a mitzvah is done through an aveira, would you say, would that invalidate it on a biblical level, or rabbinically it makes it no good? So one answer some say is that if a mitzvah is done through an aveira, technically you did wrong for doing a sin. You did wrong for what? For stealing. And if you stole, you have to do tshuva. We're in the time of tshuva now, right? Appropriate time of tshuva. However, even though you did wrong, you shouldn't have done that. But it doesn't take away that you did a mitzvah. Still did a mitzvah? Yes.
So you go into your friend's sukkah, but you don't know if the wood is stolen, neither does he. But it's still stolen nonetheless, but you still get credit for the mitzvah of eating on the sukkah, right?
It was stolen? At the end of the day, it was stolen?
It said the wood was stolen, but you didn't know that.
But you didn't know that it was stolen.
And neither did he. You know, it's a community sukkah.
Right, and it was stolen. So, what's interesting to note is like this. The Gemara says that they made it, that the rabbis were very concerned that if a person would ever steal materials for a sukkah, and let's say he put the material into, a beam, or other, whatever part of the sukkah, he used the stolen stuff, if you're going to require him to return the actual piece of material that he put into the sukkah, it'll be very hard for him to take apart the whole sukkah, to take out that part of the sukkah. Therefore, the rabbi said, he only has to pay money. The value of those items that you took and you put into the walls of the sukkah, or the schach of the sukkah, and we say that the materials that you stole belong to you now. But you owe money for those materials that you stole. Sometimes you have a financial responsibility. So therefore, but it's yours now. So technically, it belongs to you. So therefore, so in your scenario, it should be all right that you should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Someone owes the money to that guy. Mm-hmm. Whoever was stolen from is owed the money. Yes.
At the end of the day,
it belongs
to the guy who stole it.
What did you say? At the end of the day, it belongs to the guy. That's what it says. It says sukkah gzula. The chinuch. Take a look at the chinuch. Then sukkah gzula shek. And he says, a sukkah zula shayla, number one, for she ain't kak and exelis. Kak, you can't steal. I feel a gazel ha'itz and vashem sukkah. You stole wood and you made a sukkah. Kishera, it's kosher. Mitakonas chachomen. It says the chonem shetiknu l'shalant me'itz, and you only have to pay back the value of the wood. So the minchas chinuch discusses, how does that work? Minatora, stolen stuff. Minatora, it's not a sukkah. And the rabbanim say you have to pay for the value of the sukkah. But the Torah, the sukkah is invalid. How could the Rabbanah make this sukkah valid? So some say, Hefka, Bezin, Hefka. Some say, Bezin has the power to go ahead and take your money and say that they're making that money hefka. They're making it, you know, public property. They have the power. That's how some understand it. And therefore, whoever the original owner of that wood belonged to no longer becomes the owner of that wood. The wood now belongs to the person who stole it, but the person who stole it has a responsibility to pay back that guy. So therefore, it belongs now to the guy who stole it. Midrabban. But now, it has a biblical status that it belongs to him. Midrabbanan have the power. If Midrabbanan make it hefker, so now it becomes his. On a Torah level. Or else, how could you be yotze in the midst of sitting in the sukkah? Such a sukkah. That's how the Shah HaMelech, like the Shah HaMelech says, that Hefke Beth and Hefke, the Prima Godem also says that way, and it sounds like the Mishibura also uses this idea. Says this idea. Yes.
No, what if it's deliberately stolen?
And you're talking about it was deliberately stolen. But we want to give the guy an easy way of doing tshuva. The guy stole it deliberately.
The guy who's eating in there stole it?
When the guy who steals it, when the guy who's eating there, what did he do? Went into the sukkah, what did he do? The case we're talking about, if a guy went ahead and he stole the wood to build the sukkah.
Okay.
That's the case.
Why does he go into somebody else's sukkah? He didn't steal anything, but he goes into somebody else's sukkah.
So we spoke about that. I spoke about it on Shabbos, that there's a concept, nichele le'inish, a person wants that his property should be used for a mitzvah. You're happy that your property should be used for a mitzvah. So if someone comes into your sukkah, it doesn't even ask you permission.
They charge dues, and nobody's happy for you to go and not pay your dues. That's different. That's why the palace, if you borrow somebody's palace,
There are times, like Rabbi Blatt is saying, sometimes a person, I gave the example, I know Ben discussed about this example, I don't know if a rabbi would be happy if you go pick out the Torah from the shul without permission, right?
What's the general rule?
The general rule is a person's happy that his money should be used for mitzvah. Meaning, the general rule is, I'm not happy that you should borrow my shirt or my jacket or my tie without my permission. But if it's a mitzvah, I'm happy you should do it. Now, sometimes I'm not happy that you should do it. You should borrow my thing. If it's, let's say, I have the most expensive tefillin from 1,000 years ago, I'm not going to be happy you touch those tefillin, because I'm not confident that you're going to treat the tefillin with the right respect. So therefore, you would not be able to use it without permission in such a case. Yes.
Would it apply to money or just mitzvah objects? Buy somebody.
I don't know if you could take someone's money. Money. It doesn't sounds like.
So much money.
I don't know about that. That's why I don't know if we go. Okay, so the point is, getting back to our discussion over here. So that's a special, unique case. Before, the Chacham want to make things easy for us, that it should be easy for a person to repent. There shouldn't be things in its way, and therefore the Chacham made such a takana. Because they want that guy who stole, they wanted to do tshuva. And that, so they created such a thing. So now he discusses, so that's how some approach it. Some approach it, if I steal something from somebody and I do a mitzvah with it, maybe min haTorah is considered a mitzvah. It's only, but midrabbanan, rabbinically it's not considered. That's how some approach. But the Midrash Chinuch wants to say another answer to this question. Again, the question on the table is, why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that a stolen sukkah is biblically no good? Right? It's only rabbinic injunction, rabbinic takana that it's good, because and you only owe the money. Why do we need a pasuk? It should be obvious because of mitzvah above avera. Look what he says. He says a very interesting idea about mitzvahs, categories of mitzvahs. Literally, tihine shnei minim yesh b'mitzvahs aseh. There are two types of mitzvahs aseh. There are two types of positive commandments. Echad sheyichiyuv akakavta d'cholish Yisrael. One is an obligation on every Jew. Every Jew has an obligation to do. and he says, "Kimo tefillin ve'esri v'chilas matzah." Putting on tefillin in the morning, is that something that you have to do or not? You have to put on tefillin. A person doesn't put on tefillin, doesn't eat matzah, doesn't take an esrog when sukkahs is coming. He violated an obligation that he had. That's an obligation. You don't listen to your wife, you get in trouble, right? No, you violated an obligation, right? So, a mitzvah like this, in mekayim osa, if you fulfill it, osa v'tzana boris parach v'yisala. You're doing what God wants from you. That's what God commanded, to take the lulav of an esrog. V'mevatel ha-mitzvah, if you vatel, you nullify the mitzvah, you don't do it, v'ina minach tefillin, you don't put on tefillin, osa l'not a lulav, you didn't take a lulav, v'tel ha-mitzvah. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. He did it against God. And he's going to have to be punished for it. Because not only does the person get punished for doing an action, like eating that kosher, people get punished for being inactive. Inactive Jews are also punished. The person's being inactive. He doesn't get up to the plate to put on tefillin. Doesn't get up to the plate to eat matzah. The people think, you know, the only thing is being active, doing an action against the Torah, but that's not true. Not doing an action sometimes is also an action in its way against the Torah. Torah also asks of us to be active Jews. That's what we got to be.
What's the actual character?
On the head.
Mm-hmm.
Head of the person.
Some people think the mitzvah is to say Shalom.
Right. You hear what Rabbi Blatt says? But the people think that being just doing nothing is a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything, but that's not true. It's good you don't do sins, but not doing what you need to do is also a sin. I just saw a nice chat. You know, it says. There's a medrash. There's a pasuk. It says, "Mi isha chafetz chayim," right? Who is the person who's chafetz chayim? And so l'shon chameros v'secha medavet mirma. Watch your mouth. But then the pasuk says it's not enough to watch your mouth. The person says, "I'm going to watch my mouth. I'm not going to do anything." Sumera v'asei tov. You got to also be active. You got to do something. Not just say, "I'm not going to talk." Okay, and then do what? Keep your mouth quiet and be totally inactive? No. Active, do something. Some of us say, "Tov, do something with you. Do something too." So, I think the Marsha says, "Pshan in that Gemara," he says, the Gemara says, "What's Asi Tov? What is that Torah?" So the Marsha says that how could you protect your mouth? That you should not talk bad if you'd be Isaac in Torah. That's how, you want to know how I'm saying don't talk Lashon Hara. But I'm not telling you not to talk anymore. Talk. What's going to protect you? If you learn Torah.
So how did you get to the bottom line with these things? So am I allowed to go into a sukkah that I didn't pay dues? I don't understand.
So a sukkah that you didn't pay dues,
but anybody else wants you to pay dues. You know what I mean? You're not a guest. Let's say you're not a guest, and maybe say $25 a person, and you're not a guest by somebody. So you bring your own. You're not stealing any bricks. You're not stealing any lumber. You're just using somebody else's thing.
But they don't. See, the problem is they don't want you there, right? The question is.
I don't know if they don't want you there. They say everybody should contribute $25. They don't say don't come if you don't contribute. They don't say you're gonna have a bouncer there. You know, you don't have to have a thing on your hand. Like go to a club and say, "I don't care about it, man. You're not belong to your club. You know,
you gotta have a club."
But that's how they survive, basically. You know what I mean? Hello, by the mayor, by Friedman, they survive that way. By that's how they get it. They put up the sukkah. That's how they clean it up. I mean, you know, they survive by people giving a few bucks so they can have a maintenance man come and take care of it. So, is that considered stealing or something? You're not actively stealing it.
There's something to think about.
I understand that this one, that you don't put on spoon. You're not doing anything wrong.
But you are doing something wrong.
No, according to some people, what this for?
Right, I'm saying, there are people that think that erroneously.
Right.
That if I just stay back and do nothing, I'm safe.
And what is it based on?
It's based on false ideas.
I'm based on being wrong.
I once heard in high school, a kid was arguing with his rebbe in high school. He was like,
having a discussion with his rebbe.
Yeah, in the middle of class. He said, but rebbe, it's nice to be misspelled with a minion, but you don't have to. It's all right. It's nice to be misspelled.
He's passing. The student was passing, right?
So the rebbe said, you know, of course you have to. I mean, there's a mindset that
right,
it's
people
like,
think
it's like it's extra or something.
Right. People make mistakes. Now, for yesh mitzvos, there are certain mitzvos she'ein chiyuv la'asosam. Certain mitzvos you're not obligated to do biblically, unless you're in a certain situation, like tzitzis. If you don't have a four-cornered garment, you don't have to. If you don't have a four-cornered garment, you don't have to put on tzitzis. When do you have to put on tzitzis? When you have a four-cornered garment, you don't have a four-cornered. You don't have to put on tzitzis. We bring ourselves into the mitzvah. It's appropriate to do that. It's appropriate for a person to be wearing tzitzis. But biblically speaking, if we don't have a four-cornered garment, we have a mitzvah. I gave an example, a person would live in the street, right? Don't recommend it to anybody. Live in the street. Does he need a mezuzah? Is there a mitzvah of mezuzah? Is there a mitzvah of mezuzah if a guy's living in the street? And there's no mitzvah. Why is there no mitzvah? He doesn't have a doorway. What do you want from the guy? Right? There's no mitzvah of mezuzah. So, what? Okay. So there are some mitzvahs in the Torah that are only applicable if you have a certain situation.
A homeless man's not chayv in sukkah.
He is chayv in sukkah. Right. I know. I was thinking about that. Let me ask the question. But the way people know the normal man lives. Okay, to do it with Rabbi Dave, the normal man lives in a house, in some sort of shelter of some sort. Now, the yesh mitzvah consists of the Torah chayvos lebosh be'er shabbat v'kafos. Torah didn't obligate you to wear a garment of four corners. The Torah says, you know what? Like your garment you're wearing is fine. You don't have to wear a four-cornered garment. Vimrotza, if you guy wants, holich below be'er shabbat v'kafos. On a biblical level, you can go the whole day without a garment of four corners. Ve'ein a neger ratzon avareh b'chi. You're not doing it against God. Are you doing it against God? If a guy goes ahead and if he doesn't wear a four-cornered garment, is he violating a biblical prohibition?
No.
Ah! Maybe ask what they hear. If he brings himself into the obligation, intentionally he goes to the store and he buys a garment that has four corners, that's a beautiful thing. Haklav. In Mikayim Mitzvah Zoo, just to bring up to date, we're learning the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah, and the Minchas Chinuch is discussing different types of mitzvahs that we have to do. In Mikayim Mitzvah Zoo, also Ritzon HaBorei Yisborach. Ritzon HaBorei. If you do this mitzvah, you're fulfilling God's will. Ah, Avalim, Eina Mikayim HaMitzvah. But if you don't fulfill this mitzvah, Eina Ovar Ritzono, Rak Eina Mikayim HaMitzvah. You're not going against God's will. But you don't get credit for a mitzvah. You have to realize most mitzvahs are not this way, in my humble opinion. Most mitzvahs of the Torah is that if we don't do the way it said, if we don't do it, we would be doing something wrong by not doing. But there are certain mitzvahs in the Torah that, you know, there's a mitzvah for a person, to, you know, I gave an example. Torah says, if a person gives his wife a get, and he follows the way the Torah says to give a get, the Torah way, he fulfills a mitzvah. Now, I don't recommend it. And you don't need the guy says, I want to do that mitzvah.
Every day.
The guy goes ahead and he says, I'm going to give the wife a divorce. Generally speaking.
Like I said, you can just say machshava mitzvah l'maisa.
But for the purpose of doing the mitzvah. Yeah. For the purpose of doing the mitzvah, the Torah says it's a time of the mitzvah for the garrison. Erevas dovo, if she was unfaithful, there are times. But it's not the general rule. So we don't that mitzvah is not given that you have, there's no obligation to do that mitzvah, you know. If you do that mitzvah, you get reward because you did it the right way. But we're not asking the guy to do it, right? We're asking the guy to get a divorce. No way, Jose. Yes.
I heard that, but since it's mitzvah, you don't have a full coin of that, you're not afraid of sickness. But because it's such an important mitzvah,
I don't think it's the language that the obligated, the chum obligated to wear. It's very strongly recommended, and it should be done. And
it's put your towels also, you check the corners before you put it on.
To make sure that they're proper, that they're correct. Like I said, I think Sitzes is Sadik, Yafritz is Yosso Tomer. Sadik separates his tefillin constantly.
Do
you have to look at the Gemaras, we'll see more about it. No, that's not probably in the other mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Shiva Dalaminim.
Okay.
But here you see that there's a special takana for sukkah,
right,
that Chum made. It's not going to be a special takana for Lulav.
Okay.
Now, the chain, and he says the chain mitzvah zu. The mitzvah of sukkah, there's two possibilities. You with me? There are two possibilities you have in sukkah. Sometimes by not sitting in a sukkah, you are not doing what God wants by being inactive. And sometimes by not sitting in the sukkah, you're not doing anything wrong. Name that tune. When did that apply?
During the
other days. You hear what he said? During Chol HaMoed Sukkos. This year Sukkos Chol HaMoed. Let's say Sunday will be Chol HaMoed Sukkos, right? Let's focus on Sunday, because Saturday, because we have a mitzvah to eat a meal. So then you, once you have a mitzvah to eat a meal, so the meal has to be eaten where? So every day of Sukkos. You know, every day in Sukkos, all those 7 days, and after the Israel 8 day, you're supposed to eat. Some people have different customs on Shemini Atzeres. Exactly what they do, they should make sure. But you should, you know, the Gemara technically says you should sit in the sukkah on the 8th day, outside of the land of Israel. But Chol HaMoed. Thank you. On Chol HaMoed Sukkos, on Sunday of Sukkos, if you want to go ahead and you want to have fruit, you want to have other types of foods that you're not washing, you're not having a real meal, do you need to go to a sukkah? No. If you decide you want to wash on Chol HaMoed, you want to wash on bread, a roll, you have to go to the sukkah. But technically, if you're not having a real meal, you don't need a sukkah. That's on Chol HaMoed. But the first night of sukkahs, you have to go to the sukkah. You have to have a meal in the sukkah.
What about sleeping in the
sukkah? Excellent question.
You have like a private sukkah that's nice, you live in Israel, but we're in the Lower East Side, you'll share it together, so it's not comfortable.
So exactly what you said, and what's your first name again?
Jacob.
Exactly what Jacob said is exactly the reason that's given by some of the commentators of why many people don't sleep in the sukkah here in the Lower East Side.
That would find sleeping
official. That was not to sleep, that he didn't sleep in the sukkah, right? That's what you mean. But because of this point, that there's a concept of halacha, that person is unstire potter in the sukkah, a person is very discomfort, is potter from the sukkah, and if a person doesn't have, you know, sometimes the weather is very cold here, or there's no privacy over here, and so forth. So those are some of the reasons that are given why we don't sleep in the sukkah. Similarly, if it's raining and it comes and the rain comes into the sukkah, and it's going to ruin your food, your soup, you have to stay in the sukkah? No, you don't have to stay. You can leave the sukkah. So, because you're in discomfort, and the way you live in the sukkah, the way you live in the house, you don't have the rain coming in through your roof. Right? I don't think we have. We don't live like that. So you walk out of the house. So too, the rain comes in and it's going to disturb your soup. You could get up and leave. So too, if you don't, you're not going to live in your house in a way that you're very uncomfortable. It's very cold, maybe in certain climates in New York at night, or it's other privacy issues. Sometimes a husband or a wife, you know, also have that issue because if in the sukkah, if they don't have a private sukkah, so they have privacy issues, and therefore they could. That's one of the reasons that's given why they don't sleep in the sukkah. But Well, I'm saying some people make a private sukkah for husband and wife. Yes, yes. I know in Eretz Yisrael, my uncle, Tzatzal, he had a sukkah, him and his wife. Yeah. And the rest of the family were somewhere else. They're different. They had two porches or whatever, two terraces.
Why not?
I don't know. That's like the house. Yeah, I don't think there's any problem.
So they ate there also? They ate there too? You know, while your uncle
and wife. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
So the rest of the family was in...
No, I presume they must have eaten as a whole family.
Uh-oh.
I think they ate just like their house. In their house, you eat the whole family, but everyone has their own room. Everyone has privacy. So, now, so he says like this. There's two parts in the mitzvah. The hainu, below rishis hasukkis, the first man is sukkis. Mitzvah sasei le'echol kazayis besukkah. Mitzvah sasei to eat a kazayis in the sukkah. You gotta find yourself a sukkah the first night of sukkah. And you gotta eat a kazayas. If they don't want to eat, ain't a moil. Doesn't help. You're on a diet, doesn't help. Ki hu mechuyiv l'echol. You're obligated to eat kemo matzah tefillin. Matzah. Actually, I'm on a diet. I don't want any matzah. No, you gotta eat matzah. Tefillin. You gotta put on tefillin. If you mean a rosh l'echol, doesn't help. Now, im lo mekayim me'mitzvah tasei b'layla rishon, if you don't do what you were told to do, the first night you don't find yourself in a sukkah, then also negative tzoni spashma. You're going against God's will. God said, I want you to be active. Go find yourself in a sukkah. Should I find
myself?
U'b'shah ha'lei los v'yomim, the rest of the nights and the days, im lo tzeh, ina eichel. If you want, you don't eat. Ina yoshev a sukkah. Like I said, chalom oreg. You don't want to eat? You know, you're watching a diet after the first couple of days of Yontif, especially now, first 3 days of Yontif, you're really going to be eating a lot.
You have an all-food diet.
You're not doing anything wrong.
Smoothie.
You might, really, if you go into the sukkah, eat them every time you go, bring yourself to the avodah, you get credit, because you did, we should chaperein the mitzvahs, but technically, if you didn't do it, you didn't do anything wrong. If it's chalom mod. When what? Sukkah teisha shivas yomim.
It's for eating any other time, besides the first night.
Shivas yomim teisha v'sukkah.
That's
a mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah saseh.
It's a mitzvah saseh
that you have to eat in a sukkah. You have to live in a sukkah for 7 days.
That was a lie that you have on this.
You're correct. You do have a mitzvah chalamoy. How do you have a mitzvah chalamoy?
You
have a meal. If you have any meal.
But the classic implies that you don't have any security. I mean, I can't dash in my own classes, but the implication...
Very good. I think there's a presentation that ain't to do it. The way you eat. During the week... do you have a snack outside your sukkah? Outside your house during the year, Mr. Richmond?
Yes, sir.
You do have a snack. Fine! You can have a snack outside the sukkah for the 7 days, too. But do you eat meals outside your house? No! You don't eat meals outside your house? You have to eat meals. If your sukkah has to be like your house for those 7 days. Your house for 7 days, you eat in the house, you have a meal in the house? You have to eat a meal in the sukkah. But you have a snack outside your house? You can have a snack outside the sukkah. But the first night of sukkahs, we have a different pasuk. That pasuk, we spoke with Mr. Young Rice last week about that pasuk. That pasuk, we learn out from what? We have a Gezeirah Shavah, Chamisha Asa, from 15th of Nisan to the 15th of what? Tetzvav of Sukkot. That just says you must have matzah the night of Pesach. You must have a sukkah the first night of Sukkot. You must have it. It's not dependent on whether you're, what you plan on having, what you want to do. You plan on having a meal or not having a meal. You have to find yourself. Yes, Jacob, you want to say something or not? No. Okay. Is that clear? That answers your question.
It certainly does.
Okay, that's what I wanted to do. I have done the Ritzon. We're talking about doing the Ritzon of Hashem. I've done your will. Now.
You can say the first night, if you don't eat, you get a mitzvah.
Correct.
On a night, if you eat, you get a mitzvah.
Right, and if you eat chalamoid, a meal, outside the sukkah,
you get a
nevera. Let's get the. You're not obligated to have a meal in Chol HaMoed. You don't have to eat a meal in Chol HaMoed. But if you do eat a meal, you get a credit. Yes.
I want to establish on the first day I'm eating the sukkah, whether it's minor or big, in terms of a snack or meal that you're establishing. I'm eating the sukkah. I recognize what the sukkah is, and I'm going to tell you keep everything going. Because like if you're doing a dinner, like, maybe you'll do, maybe not, and maybe slack up, you're not. You got it done with the first thing.
So what do you, Jacob, what do you say? You're saying that the first night sets the tone?
Yeah.
And therefore, hopefully the person will always be accustomed to finding himself in a sukkah. Because once he plays around a little bit, you're afraid he's going
to
be...
He'll start eating the remaining days in the sukkah. You might want to sleep in the sukkah. Like, it starts the moon phase.
Okay. That's a very interesting idea that you want to say that perhaps... Why the Torah obligates the first night? You must find yourself because that will set a certain tone for the rest of the holiday.
Why else would they tell you on the first night?
Why else would God want us to must sit in the sukkah the first night?
That's a command.
Okay, it's a command. Yeah, but he's just trying to give some understanding for this command. It could be. We don't, you know, he's just suggesting an idea. That's what he wants to do. Okay.
Not about me. If it commands, you have to follow it.
Right.
But there is no idea that should be changing the command.
Right, but he wants to understand why is the command... He wants to understand like this. Why was the command given?
But the court is ruled Shivat Yamin, and you start, and the command is the first night you must do it.
I'm not going against that.
No, I'm not saying that you're going.
But he wants to understand why is it that we find that technically for the rest of Sukkos, if you're not going to have a meal, you don't have to find yourself in a sukkah.
Okay, so...
But the first night of Sukkos, you must find yourself in a sukkah. You must be knocking on doors and going to the shuls and say, I need a sukkah. Why is it that... That's what he wants to understand.
I keep it off my head. Maybe that's the reason, because you want to set the tone.
That's what he wants to suggest. That's what he wants, Jacob wants to say. It could, you know, there could be a million and one reasons, but...
Yeah,
we're not right, but the Rambam says somewhere, he says, try to understand possible reasons. Mila, right? End of Mila, I think. Beautiful Rambam, highly recommended. How he says that we should try to understand to the best of our ability why Hashem gave that mitzvah. Of course we're doing the mitzvah because Hashem gave the mitzvah. We're going to follow the mitzvah. But because Hashem said to do it. God said to do it. But we should try to understand that we should recognize Torah was not given just as a closed book, so to speak, without reasons. Everything God chose this particular mitzvah is for a reason. It's nothing pulled in, what do you say, pull something out of the hat.
Yeah.
It's not just pulling a bunny rabbit out of the hat or whatever the expression is.
He's bringing up a good point.
Who, Jacob?
Yes, Jacob.
Jacob, you're getting a lot of time on this.
because if the whole reason of the sukkah is because he was sukkah of Shabbos B'nai Yisrael, he asked Mitzrayim, why only the first night? It raises a good question. Why only do we have the mitzvah the first night?
The obligation to find yourself a sukkah the first night.
Why we have a chayyab to eat in the sukkah
the first night, right.
So the other nights where if we're not eating, we don't have a chayyab to eat.
Right. That's exactly the point. You see, he likes it. He likes your idea. Now, so that's what the chinuch says, and in the minchas chinuch, and he repeats it a little bit. So I think we're going to skip a few lines, and I want to get to the next point. V'hinei nira. Next point is v'hinei nira. He said, "Hold the mitzvah habor ba'avis." I think everyone has this concept pretty clear. Two types of mitzvahs, some mitzvahs, but two types of positive commandments. Some, if you don't do, you're doing wrong. By being inactive, you're not following God's will. And sometimes in the scenario of a mitzvah, by being inactive, you're not doing anything wrong. Like I gave you the good example of a get. Being inactive, you're not doing anything wrong by being inactive, not giving your wife a get. You're not doing wrong. Now, generally speaking, v'hine, nira, hod the mitzvah boba v'ri in the yotzei. Why is it, if a mitzvah is done through an aveir, a person does not fulfill this mitzvah? Why is it a guy who does a sin, and because of that sin that he did a mitzvah. So we say that the mitzvah doesn't count. Why doesn't it count?
Where do we have this cloud from?
It's a general rule. You also have psukim in the Navi that it says that Hashem's not happy. Pasuk says if you bring certain psuk, if you bring certain karbonos and stolen stuff, I think it's psukim that indicate a lack of being happy with this. He's going to discuss your question, David, right now. The source for it. So he says, Atam, that Kodesh Baruch Hu Ina Rotz Bekach. Hashem doesn't want it. Hashem Hashem is not happy with it because the Sanega Yasekatega. You're gonna do a mitzvah, and that mitzvah is gonna turn against you as a prosecutor. You did a mitzvah, you think you're doing something good, and that mitzvah it's gonna say, hey. That mitzvah that you did is going to say, hey, this it was performed through sin. Ayin baran, shom perkul agosel. V'hine, mishum zeh shayach shat eloima, v'lo yosi be'em mitzvah. You could say that because Hashem is not happy, you could say he did not fulfill the mitzvah. Ki zeh ein arosan aburius barach. That's not God's will. God's will is not, I don't want you to do this. I'm not happy with what you did. Im kein lo kayem mitzvah. You didn't do a mitzvah. And I'm not happy that you should go ahead and do a mitzvah with something which was done through an avera. So that, he says, shayach shapa v'mitzvah ha-chayuvis. A mitzvah that you must do. Because I tell you, you have to go ahead and put on tefillin, let's say. And if you're not going to fulfill, if you took a stolen tefillin, you stole tefillin, you put on the tefillin, and am I happy with what you did? Am I going to say, hey, you got credit for putting on tefillin? Can I give you a credit check that you put on tefillin today if the tefillin was stolen? Am I going to say, you know what, I'm happy with, you get credit for mitzvah? I'm not going to give you credit for the mitzvah, because this tefillin that you put on was stolen tefillin. You put on stolen tefillin, I'm not giving you a check. I'm not giving you credit for it. If you didn't get credit for it, so therefore what remains? You still have your obligation to put on what? Tefillin. So the tefillin you put on that was stolen, I'm not giving you credit for it. Because that tefillin that you did, when you put on was stolen tefillin. So what? So you didn't put on tefillin. And if you didn't put on tefillin, You did something wrong because you have to put on tefillin. But he says, but a mitzvah that's called a mitzvah she'ena chiyuvis, like let's say sukkah on chalamoid. Sukkah on chalamoid. If a guy goes ahead and he stole the materials for that sukkah, so and he sat in that sukkah. So, is Hashem going to say, I'm going to give you credit that you sat in a sukkah? I'm not going to give you credit that you sat in a sukkah if it was stolen sukkah. But the question is, you're not going to get credit. I'm not going to give you credit. Did you get credit for sitting? He had a meal. He washed. He had a meal.
Did he steal the food?
He didn't steal the food. But the question is, that meal that he had in the sukkah, on Chalamoi sukkahs, what do you look at it? You're not going to give him credit for the mitzvah of sukkah because it was stolen sukkah. But are you going to look at it like he sat outside, but he ate a meal? So how do you define that? Where did he eat that meal? He ate that meal where?
In the stolen sukkah.
Are you going to look at it like he ate a meal outside of sukkah? Do we look at it like he stole a meal outside the sukkah? What did you say? Oh, that makes a big difference. Because you're not allowed to have a meal. You're not allowed to have a meal outside a sukkah. So you'd be doing an aveira.
I understand what the ramification. I want to understand.
You're allowed. 100%. You're allowed to ask. So therefore, when you ate that meal in the sukkah that was stolen, we're not going to give you credit. Like you ate, you fulfilled the mitzvah because it was stolen. But are we going to give you a, what do you call it, demerit? Are we going to say, like it's like you ate outside a sukkah? See, like Simon Chassanah's answer. Are you going to say we look like you ate outside of sukkah?
Yes,
so we're going to mark him parif. We're going to mark him. You didn't get a mitzvah.
Wash.
So wash.
But you can't wash a fellow like. Did he steal it or did somebody else steal it?
Very good. So far we're talking about he stole. So far we're talking about. So we're not going to give you credit because you stole that sukkah. But we're going to say it's like you ate outside. Are we going to look at it like you ate outside a sukkah?
So how do you look at it the first night?
The first night. Okay. So therefore, the first night you have to get credit. You must end the night of first night of sukkah with a check. Then you got credit for eating in a sukkah.
So
then you did not get your check. Because it's not considered... But the Rabbana made a takana that... We're talking now on the biblical level. But the Rabbana made a takana that you could be yotze with this sukkah. Yes.
You said, like, the same case with someone who stole the tefillin?
Say it again?
You said with someone who stole the tefillin, right, would you get a check? I don't know, would you send him a check or something?
No, we're not talking about borrowed tefillin, we're talking about stolen tefillin.
Stolen tefillin. Well, don't you think it's better that the person actually put on tefillin, rather than, let's say you have a poor guy who doesn't have tefillin, and everyone has a nice pair of tefillin, he steals.
Okay, fair. Then Hashem is not happy with that.
He's not happy, but at least he put on tefillin.
But that's not what God wants. What does the guy do when he puts up the tefillin? He's doing a commitment. God wants him to do it. God doesn't want it.
It's not what God wants, but it's what he wants. He doesn't think about at that point.
But that's what he has to realize. When he's putting up, you got to think. We have the guy when he puts on tefillin has to think. What does God want from him? What? But he does anything. But he has to think. What does God want? Does God want it or God doesn't want it? That's what the Navi says. Like, Shem is not happy with people. They bring karbanos from stolen stuff.
Karbanos. It's interesting about karbanos that I think I'm right. But if a person brings a karban ola and somebody else steals it from him on the way to the mizbeah, and the person that stole it does that karbanos, the original person gets credit for it. I saw it someplace. If somebody steals it on the way to the mizbeah, a karban ola, somebody stole it, and he was mocked with it, the original person who really wanted to bring it gets the credit for the karban ola. And I saw it, or I think I saw it in the halacha this morning, because for some reason, the yom is my first time, he's supposed to have the yom.
You can't do any mitzvah from a transgression. You can't steal money and give it to charity.
Exactly. That's how God wants. That's right. You're not going to...
So in any case...
So how come the chachom set up a takana that it may be good?
Oh, the chachom here want the guy to do tshuva. The guy stole wood for the sukkah, and he spent a long time putting up the sukkah. If you're going to obligate him to take apart the sukkah, take out that piece of wood, and return it, it'd be too much for him. It's very hard to do. The Chum say, you know what he has to do? Pay the value. Not that he's going to get away with it, Mr. Young. No way. He's not getting away with it. Pay the value. Some say, if he doesn't pay, then he's not yotzei the sukkah. That's how some achronim learn.
After he steals, you have to say, he has to pay the value, and then he's be able to do your thing.
That's how some understand, yes, that's how some understand.
I just read an Israeli article, like, 2 months ago, that there's, you know how you have some people who check mezuzahs?
Right.
You have either Chabad that goes into Chilani communities and check if they check in, like, some communities, like, more than one-third are either fake or they're stolen. There's a lot of people that go around to people's homes and they easily unscrew the mezuzahs and take the screws mezuzahs and sell it to other communities or other people.
Yes.
It's not a good thing. 600 shekel, 1,000 shekel, 300 shekel, whatever the price is.
Terrible.
And then one guy who got caught, one rabbi got caught because he did it in one community, he justified himself, oh, if it wasn't for me, these four Jewish souls would never have mezuzah, but he didn't pay back. Well, with God. And he stole
from that's not what Hashem wants. God doesn't want that.
He stole from the other Jewish souls, so he made even more gas than he did before.
It's not what God doesn't want. I have a word. Shtiklas. No shtiklas. I don't like shtiklas. God doesn't like shtiklas. All these shtiklas, right? Jacob, you like that word? I don't like... No shtiklas.
Sound like pieces of wood.
Yes. You want to say something?
No, I'm interested in the guy who goes into the sukkah and doesn't know that it's a stolen wood. he's in a stolen sukkah
nonetheless. Yeah, so it would seem like he would fulfill his mitzvah. It would seem like, from what we're saying, I didn't research it well, because the person who stole, whoever stole that sukkah, he has to pay. It belongs to that person now.
He has to, or he paid.
He has to pay. Even if he didn't pay yet, but the point is he's going to pay, or he's supposed to pay, he must pay. Now, so that's what the Minchas Sinas wants to say to answer Tosa's question.
We can make a kava from a mazah.
And if he doesn't pay, who knows?
So that's a good question. Will he fulfill the mitzvah? Will we say retroactively he didn't fulfill the mitzvah or not? That's the discussion. I just wanted to say that I have yotze test. I'm going to be davening for the oven. I have yotze with my father tonight. So, thank you. So, the Minchas Sinas says maybe that's the pshat. Why we need the extra pasuk to exclude a stolen sukkah? To teach us the following. That if it's chol hamoed sukkahs and it's a stolen sukkah, not only don't you get credit, if it will be because of mitzvah habo bar veira, a mitzvah that came through a sin. So we said on Sunday chol hamoed, if a guy sat in a stolen sukkah, he stole a sukkah, we said he won't get a check, but we said he won't get a demerit. But now that the Torah says l'cha, it has to belong to you, so if it's stolen, that means it's not even a sukkah. The Torah is saying a stolen sukkah is invalid. I'm telling you it's no good. I'm telling you it's invalid. Therefore, if you sit in a sukkah and it's stolen, during chol hamoed, it's like you're sitting outside a sukkah and you will not be yotzei the mitzvah on a biblical level. But the rabbis who are here to help us, contrary to the media and the secular press, the rabbis are here to make it easy for us. The rabbis are not here to make stringency. They're not here to protect the Torah, to make it easy for people to do tshuva. So the rabbis made a takana that a stolen sukkah, you could be yotzei the mitzvah. Pay the money, make it easy. You don't have to go take apart the whole sukkah. You spent hours, the guy who stole, he spent hours working on that sukkah put up. Right? They put ripped hours on whatever. This guy ripped hours on the mezuzahs and he stole, whatever the case might be. But here they made a takana for the sukkah. He just paid the money, the value of the wood, and that's it. Yes.
He has the intention of paying for it. He gets credit.
He would get credit. Right. That's what it was. Even at that moment, he didn't pay for it yet. He says over here in the Minchas Chinuch, some say that if he doesn't want to pay, he's not yotze. But if he wants to pay, it's good enough.
You know, there's some.
They want and not doing it.
The question is, very good. The question is, if he wants to pay and he plans to pay and he eventually does pay.
Okay.
Yes.
There is. I heard from someone that, let's say, you want to complete a mitzvah or something, right? You could complete the mitzvah, or you could have intention to. Even the intention gives you a mitzvah. So you get more the intention.
But it's not enough attention. We have to also always try to figure out how we can bring the intention to the... The intention is good, because the intention is a step before the action. And you got to have that intention. You have to have that good thoughts and the good machshavos, and that's very important.
No, like you guys have to do it also, let's say for whatever reason, you just can't.
Okay, so that, you're asking a good...
Paying, so the intention, you try...
That's a good question. He wanted to pay, but he didn't pay. That's a good question. What would we say there? Technically, at the end of the day, the other guy didn't get his money.
Right, and therefore the sukkah is...
Maybe it still belongs... So that's a good question. How would you look at it when he intended to pay, but let's say he couldn't pay?
Does the Chinuch discuss this?
The Minchas Chinuch...
This was my whole point. Yeah, you will promise and this and that, but in the end, my say, are you doing it or not? And who knows? Right?
Right, so the question would be, when the Chachamim made such a takana, when the rabbis made such a to help the guy, you know, do we...
Where was the action that he paid it?
Right.
When? This nobody...
Right. All the question is, he owes the money. It's like he stole money.
Why?
Maybe it's like he stole money. That's the question. How do you look at it? It's like he stole money or he stole the thing. Okay, well, I wish everyone a good
one. But there's no answer on this.
I know, we have to look, we have to research it. There's an answer for everything.
Okay.
We have to